It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Everyone, welcome to another traveling and symphonic edition of the Taking Notes Podcast. This is episode 66. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
Julian, have you been listening to that Hail to IBM MP3?
I've been studying it.
Really?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, on the IBM website, you can not only download the WAV file, you can download the words.
Wow. Do you think if I asked, you know, one of our fellow IBM friends to, you know, recite it or sing it, you know, is it a requirement? Maybe, you know, Chris Blatnick just joined IBM. You think we can ask him to sing it?
See if that's part of the pledge ritual.
Yeah. Hey, have you been, my friend?
I've been so busy, Bruce. You know, summer's over, school is starting, we got all this school stuff and soccer stuff and scout stuff, and man, it's busy.
Yeah, same
life
here.
Life is getting in the way of my fun.
Same here. I was in San Francisco attending another trade show, or whatever you want to call it, technical conference, and it was pretty good. It was actually the Salesforce.com Dreamforce trade show. I learned a lot. I took some actual, you know, full-day training classes before the conference, which is kind of interesting. It's really fun getting up at 7 a.m. on a Saturday and Sunday. But that's it. Everything's good. Everything's busy. And sorry for not getting a podcast out to you all sooner. But here we are.
If they even noticed.
The what?
If they even noticed.
Yeah, if they even noticed.
So that's the magic of RSS.
Thank you for all picking up episode 66. And we're here to talk about actually a lot of good things. So we're going to talk about the IBM Collaboration Summit that was held in New York City, what's coming up with Notes 8.01, Notes Traveler, Lotus Same Time 8, Lotus Symphony, hosted Lotus Notes, Lotus Forms 3.0, Collaboration Accelerators for WebSphere Portal. Paul Mooney's going to give us a little snippet of some of the great admin features in Notes Domino 8. Collaboration University wraps up in London, and this week, they're going to have the UCLUG, or the UK Lotus User Group meeting in London. So, Julian, where should we start?
Let's start at the top. Let's start with Collaboration Summit in New York City.
All right.
That was an invitation-only event. That was kind of a big release party, I guess, that IBM did at the Hayden Planetarium in New York City on September 18th. And they had, 200 customers and partners there, something like mm-hmm. that? We wouldn't know.
Yeah, we weren't invited.
No. Invitation only, but yeah, not us.
Yeah.
No.
I used to go to the Hayden Planetarium as a kid, and that was one of my favorite places to go. And I think I actually saw like a Led Zeppelin, you know, what do they call it? The Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd laser light show or something like that. So
really? That was probably very similar to this Collaboration Summit.
Probably, you know, minus some of these stimulants. But hey, Steve Mills, right, head of IBM Software Group, and Mike Roden, Lotus General Manager, spoke. And I have never seen Steve Mills at a Lotus event. Have you, Julian?
I don't think so. I've seen his name.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know him if I saw him, but. But there's one thing that came out of there's a lot of things that came out of the Collaboration Summit, and one of them, one of the slides that I happened to get a hold of, it actually had the Lotus mission statement. So, you know, for those of you who don't know the IBM, you know, what kind of song is that called? It's not the IBM fight song, is it?
No, the anthem?
I don't know. IBM anthem.
Lift up our proud and loyal voices.
I don't know. Maybe the
sing
offense.
Sing out accent strong and true.
Yeah, go offense, that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the Lotus mission statement is empowering people to be more effective, responsive, and innovative in the context of the work they do. So for those
right.
of you.
Right. And I think the shortened version of that is EPTBME. RAIITCOTWTD.
All right.
2.0.
I'm so giddy, Ted. I don't know why. I've been I've been chasing a puppy around the house, but we won't go there right now. So a lot of announcements were made. We'll talk about them in no particular order of significance. But one of the popular ones that seemed to be picked up and overshadowed some of the others that we'll talk about is the Lotus Symphony announcement. Mm-hmm. Julian, you want to fill us in on that?
Lotus Symphony. So, you know, if you've been playing around with Lotus Notes 8 at all, or at least the Lotus Notes 8 Standard Edition with Eclipse, then those are the productivity tools. But what they did is they took the productivity tool bits, the documents and spreadsheets and presentations, split them out into their own product, which is all OpenOffice-based. And based on OpenOffice 1.0, with various extensions and filters and things like that. And they split it out, and now it's a product called Lotus Symphony. And if you go to symphony.lotus.com, there's all sorts of information about that and some flash demos and screenshots and downloads and things like that. I think is it still currently in beta, technically, right now?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it is. I think I remember reading that somewhere, but we'll confirm that and noted in the show notes.
Yeah.
But
the big question, of course, is why would they do that, right? Correct. What do you think, Bruce?
Wow, you had to put me on the spot first. I want you to go first, actually.
You want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
All right. Well, two things. I have two theories. Well, not two theories, but two reasons why I can see that this is a good idea. One, you know, I think a lot of people are saying, why would they do this when people could just go and download OpenOffice and load it on their computers, which is entirely true. I think part of it is the fact that large companies would be more comfortable with something like this that is supported by someone like IBM. So as opposed to a large multinational, you know, tens and hundreds of thousand employee company, they're not going to go and try to download this OpenOffice thing off the internet and deploy it to their tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of workstations and feel good about it. What they're going to want to do is they're going to want someone who is essentially standing behind it. And I know that Sun does that with StarOffice, but I think that you know, really, IBM, they can. I think there are some companies that would feel more comfortable with, getting the IBM support for a tool like this, and they're willing to pay for it. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is the fact that you can now get this stuff without having to have the Notes 8 client, and so they're really going to be reaching a lot more customers that way. Because, you know, frankly, there are customers that aren't on Notes or maybe aren't ready to upgrade to Notes 8 that suddenly this is now accessible to. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go whole hog with the whole Notes environment. If you want to try this stuff out, then you can just get Symphony, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those points, I agree with those points 100%. You know, and there was some chatter out in the blogosphere, You know that I think Nathan Freeman and John Head picked up on, and they give some, you know, great arguments. You know, some people were asking about why didn't they pick up on, you know, the current version of OpenOffice and stuff like that, and Nathan and John have some good write ups. So I think we'll reference those things in the show notes. Another thing to add, Julian, is already there's been over 75,000 downloads of Lotus Symphony. So, to me, that's a lot. I don't know about you, and it was just announced a couple days ago.
So, yeah.
So, I think it's a great idea. I think it's what IBM Lotus kind of needed to do, you know, to start to break away at that Microsoft juggernaut that they have, you know, with the Office suite. So, you know,
go get them.
Go get them. All right. So another thing that was announced was Notes 8.01, right? Targeted for the first quarter of 2008. And to me, that kind of means around Lotusphere time. I don't know about you.
Yeah, Lotusphere-ish.
Yeah. So one of the big things that got announced was something called Lotus Traveler, which is going to provide Windows mobile support, you know, native Windows mobile support for, you know, email, calendar, tasks, and a whole bunch of other things. And, you know, it's supposedly going to be as easy as, you know, installing the, you know, 8.01 software on your PC. I mean, on your PC, mm-hmm. on your server. And there's going to be a Domino server process that you're going to, you know, load up. And then somewhere, I don't know where in the administrator, you're going to say, you know, I want Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort to have, you know, what do you call it, Lotus Traveler, you know, on, right. you know, pushed down to them. So.
Yeah, and of course, this is different from just accessing your email from your mobile device. This is actually literally downloading and it's pretty much replicating your email to the mobile device, right?
That's the way I understand it, yes.
Yeah, and so you can work offline like you're on the plane and answer your emails on your, you know, whatever, your Windows Mobile thing or mm-hmm. whatever you've got, and mm-hmm. then replicate back up. So kind of cool.
All right, another thing that was announced was an improved UI and functionality for the to-do stuff that's located in your mail file. The current to-dos in Notes 8.0 are kind of reminiscent and, you know, carry over from the, you know, 7.0 time frame. Another thing that we're going to see is an email quota gauge, you know, right in the upper left-hand corner. Your users will be able to see, you know, how much more space they have before the quota alarms go off, and, you know, pretty neat. A new lightweight DWA client. You got something on that, Julian?
We were talking about this before the podcast, and we're a little bit fuzzy on the whole implications of this DWA lightweight client. So there's some kind of lightweight client for DWA. They redid parts of it. It's I guess more Web 2.0 somehow. A lot more JavaScript libraries involved, I think. I believe the rich text editor, I think, kind of got overhauled or something like that. And then what we were discussing before the podcast was whether or not this is going to be kind of another way of accessing the email from DWA over your mobile device, or whether this simply meant that browser-based clients could access it and really take less of a hit, like if you're on a dial-up connection or something like that. And we're not sure. I mean, definitely the dial-up connection and that piece of lightweight, I think, is what they were going for in terms of the redesign. I don't know whether or not that also means some kind of browser-based or some kind of mobile-based browser client as well. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. So like I could take, say, on my iPhone, right, and call up a URL and possibly have a version of DWA that, say, would work on, you know, the Micro Safari type browser or something like that. So
perhaps. And that's cool if that's true, but we're not sure.
Mm-hmm. And if anyone knows, feel free to comment in the, you know, on the Taking Notes blog in the comments section. So another thing that is coming in 8.01 is a secondary calendar time zone. For those of you who use, you know, Note 7 and Note 6, I don't know how long it's been around, in your calendar you can actually display, you know, a secondary time zone. Let's say you have your parent company that you work with is, say, in Japan and you're in, say, Washington State. You'll be able to easily have, you know, these two time zones that are, you know, right in your calendar, so you can easily see, you know, say if it's a particular time here, what the time is in the alternate time zone. So that's going to be coming. I guess they couldn't get it into 8.0, so it'll be coming in 8.01. Let's see, quicker 8.1 integration in the sidebar. Again, that's going to come in 8.01, and everyone knows what the sidebar is, right? It's the place in Notes 8, you know, where same time and your calendar at a glance, and if you have activities installed, you know, activities. So.
Right, that is the bar on the side.
The bar on the side.
Right.
All right, so more compression, right? They're saying that, I think this is on database size, right, Julian?
Yeah, and I think the big part of this is the fact that, you know, like right now with Notes 8.0.0, I guess, there's design compression, right? And so you can actually set databases or templates up to where the design elements are compressed, which saves some space. And the advantage to that is if you have a mail server that's got, you know, hundreds of mail databases, if you can compress just the design elements on all those mail databases on the server, you can potentially be saving a lot of space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, you know, just it multiplies it grows linearly, mm-hmm. In terms of how much savings you get versus you know, for how many email boxes you have. And with 8.01, they're kind of extending that beyond just design notes like views and forms and things like that into the actual the documents within the database. Yep. And so you can have a database on the server. And I can't remember how far that extends. I think the big thing I read was the fact that non-summary data will be compressible. Is that right?
I think I read that as well.
Yeah, which means a rich text field.
Correct.
Which is probably going to be the bulk of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I picked up on somewhere, I don't remember where, someone alluded to that in some instances it actually helps a lot with with the actual speed.
Yeah, it makes something faster, right?
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. I don't recall where, but they said in some instances. So I'll see if I can find where I put it.
We'll see.
Another thing is native 64-bit support for Windows and AIX systems.
Yep, people have been asking for that for a while. I mean, you can run Notes and Domino on a 64-bit Windows installation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a native 64-bit application, right?
Correct.
And now it will be.
Correct. And for all of the for all of you who work in the U.S. federal government, there's going to be FIPS 140-2 support for secure email. And what FIPS means, by the way, is Federal Information Processing Standards. And from what I gather from that, if you're going to encrypt non-secret data, classified secret data, and you're going to encrypt it, you use FIPS 140-2. So that's what I've gathered from that.
That's all we know about that.
What's next on the 801 list, Mr. Julian?
Citrix support, right, Bruce? Citrix. Now, this is going to be Citrix support for, as far as we know, the Notes standard client. So that's the Eclipse-based one.
That's right. So I know a couple people in the blogging community who are big Citrix users, and I'm sure that they jump for joy and probably are still jumping for joy.
Yeah. Now, where do we hear that? I don't remember what our source was for that one.
What, for the Citrix support?
Yeah. Was that one of the things we got?
Yeah. It was in one of the press releases, I think, Erica Topolsky sent us from IBM.
Okay. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you. Thank you, Erica. All right. So, carrying on the podcast, Lotus Same Time 8. I don't know when this is going to be available to the public, but there's, I guess, a couple new flavors of Same Time. Same time.
Yes, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
That's too short. All right. Same time entry, which is going to give you basic chat. Basic chat. Then there's going to be the same time standard, which we all know and love today. You know, the screen sharing, the chat and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to actually link to a good slide that Adam Gartenberg and Alan Lapaske have on their blog that shows these three concentric circles of what's contained within each of these same time products. Then there's
sort of the same time Venn diagram, right?
Exactly. Same time advanced, right? That's going to be everything that's included in standard and entry, but it's going to include, from what I hear, the IBM community tools that I think have been used with inside IBM for a long time. Something like, I think they call it instant screen share, where it doesn't, launch the same time meeting center or something. It uses something else to do screen sharing. I'm not too sure. And again, if Adam or Carl want to chime in on the comment section of the blog, we'd be happy for them to do that. So, and then there's same time unified telephony, which is going to provide, telephony integrations, with the same time system. From what I hear, it's going to support, Siemens and HP OpenScape type integration. So if you want to call out from your same time system to through your phone, PBX, whatever, now you'll be able to do it with this same time unified telephony that's coming in same time 8. Let's see, one more, Lotus Same Time Unite, right? I guess IBM bought a company, what is it called, Web Dialogues, Julian?
I think
it's called Web Dialogues, and it's essentially a hosted same time environment. So, I guess similar to, the WebExes of the world and the Rain Dances, et cetera. All right. Before we carry on with some info about Lotus Quicker 8.1, we're going to introduce everyone to Mr. Paul Mooney of Blue Wave Technologies in Dublin, Ireland. He's going to provide a couple minutes of information for you admin people out there, you Notes Domino admin types, concerning, you know, what's new in Notes Domino 8.0. So take it away, Mr. Mooney, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's Paul Mooney here from Blue Wave Technology in Dublin, Ireland. And on behalf of Bruce and Julian, I figured I would give my 2 cents on the ND8 upgrade. So Notes 8 is due out in 2 days. And by the time everybody hears this, it's probably out. And you've all been downloading and upgrading and deploying, and comes with a wealth of new client-side features, which are all very, very interesting for the end user. Loads of composite application development features for the developers, which are all really great. And neither of them are really that interesting to us admin weenies. So what I thought I'd do is run through one or two of the few features that come for the administrators with Notes 8. And there are quite a good few features hidden away in there that are actually going to help a lot of people, myself especially included, on larger sites. So we'll kick off with one or two of the niceties. The first feature, out of office. The out of office agent is now no longer an agent. It's not controlled by the agent manager, it is controlled by the router service. First thing that springs to mind there, how it makes your life easier. How many times have you received a support call by a guy who's enabled his out-of-office agent locally instead of enabling it to run on the server? That's gone away. They just turn it on and turn it off. Second thing it does, it replies immediately. It doesn't wait for an agent to run. If I am out of the office and I've set it up and you send me a mail, it'll bounce back to you straight away saying I'm out of the office. Not only that, I can specify a time that I will be out of the office, not just a day. So if I'm going to be out of the office from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m, I can set up my out-of-office service to tell people that, and then it will turn itself on and turn itself off at the time it's finished. No more little emails reminding you to turn off your out-of-office agent when you're finished. Just be aware that you need the ND8 server running and the ND8 mail file haven't been implemented for the users for this to operate. If not, it reverts back to the old-fashioned out-of-office agent controlled by the agent manager. What's another cool feature? Another good feature is also the inbox maintenance feature that comes with 8. How many people don't clean up their inbox? Myself, probably raising my hand before the rest of you guys, my inbox is huge. I think the last time I checked, I was talking with Warren Elsmore yesterday, I had over 3,000 mails in my inbox folder. And I'm pretty small compared to other people that I know. The inbox maintenance feature is something that you can enable on the server document, and you can choose users for it to be enabled on, or alternatively you can enable it via policies after turning the feature on in the server document. But what it does is it removes mails from your inbox that are over X amount of days old. It does not delete them. They're still visible in the all documents view. What immediately springs to mind here, though, is if you do enable this feature, you may expect a few support calls from users that are used to just searching for everything in your inbox folder. You will gain performance on your Domino server for this, because your inbox is the main folder that refreshes all the time, and the larger an inbox is, the more resources are taken up in the Domino server dealing with that and maintaining it. So enabling the feature is good. I personally would enable it if resourcing is an issue, as in clock time on the box, on the server itself. I wouldn't just go turning it on for no particular reason. I'd much prefer enabling an archiving solution like a Common Store or anything along those lines instead. But it is a nice feature to have. It's a nice feature to have available to us as well. Next is the big thing, the big discussion in mail that was going back and forward between all the blog sites and even with Mary Beth and Ed Brill. Was it on or was it off by default? It's message recall. Message recall gives you the ability to recall an email that you've sent to a user. So if you've sent an email to your boss telling him exactly what you think of him, then realize you shouldn't have done that. You can recall the email and remove it from his inbox. This is on by default. You can turn it off. And you can also explicitly set different settings on the message recall feature. Now, instead of going into those details, I'm just going to recommend that if you go to Susan Bullock's website, which is notesgoddess.net, she's got a link to an excellent article that she wrote about this feature, and she's also done a podcast with Chris Miller about message recall from start to finish. So you're better off just going and listening to the whole thing there. AdminP comes with a cool new feature too. Now, instead of waiting for administration requests to replicate around to the appropriate server to be actioned, which can take time on large sites, AdminP will do direct deposits to the correct server for actions to take place. So if there's an action to take place on one specific server, that'll be pushed directly to that server immediately, or deposited directly to that server immediately, without having to wait for your replication schedule to carry through. In larger environments, that will mean big things when it comes to user management. Smaller environments, not so much, but still, it's a nice little trick to have. Well, that's just a couple of new features available to administrators with Domino Server 8 and Notes 8. There are quite a few more, and if Bruce and Julian give me their blessing, I'll happily go through a few more of these mini podcasts to actually show you what's available and what you can start playing with straight away after Friday, 17th August.
All right, next up was Lotus Quicker 8.1 as part of the announcements at the IBM Collaboration Summit. What's coming in 8.1? Well, they're going to be providing Notes 8 and Outlook integration. Okay, currently in Quicker, the integration, you know, there's no real sidebar integration. And in Outlook, there is no, you know, native Outlook integration. There is a Microsoft Office, you know, integration for Quicker, but again, none for Outlook. So, again, you can currently use what we call like the non-sidebar integration for Notes, but they're going to be providing Quicker sidebar integration in Quicker 8.1. Again, I did say that Office integration is currently available with Quicker 8, right? Just no Outlook integration. I clarified that with Rob Novak of Snaps, who's been on the podcast before. A lot. The Julian, you want to talk about Lotus Quicker Content Integrator?
I'll tell you what I read. That gives you the capability of doing things like syncing and migrating data from Exchange Public folders, SharePoint, Team Rooms, Domino.doc, which is now Lotus Document Manager. And, you know, that's pretty cool, because there's a lot of companies that have all these documents that are inside of Domino.doc or Lotus Document Manager, that maybe they've had them there for a long time and never done anything with them, or they just keep pumping documents into Domino.doc. And they're going to be giving you this integrator where you can pull all of that information, from Domino.doc or your team rooms, over into Quicker. Mm-hmm. And so that's nice, because now you can really migrate directly over to Quicker without having to worry about, oh gosh, how are we going to get all that stuff over there? You can just get the content integrator and suck it in. Mm-hmm. And it also works with Exchange Public Folders and SharePoint. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're in Exchange Shop, or you've been playing around with SharePoint and put a bunch of documents in there and thought, well, we'd rather use Quicker. Well, this content integrator is going to be moving all of those documents over from Exchange or SharePoint into your Quicker repositories as well, if you want it to do that. And so, yes, that's even SharePoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because currently, if you want to do that, I don't think there's any real, you know, out-of-the-box way to do that. And I guess, you know, this Lotus Quicker Content Integrator, I'm assuming it's, you know, some type of batch thing or server process that's just going to sit there. And, you know, if you want to constantly, say, keep this public folder in sync with this Quicker, you know, library, you know, do so. You know, I'm not too sure, but I guess we'll learn about these things as they come out.
Yeah, which really, you know, a lot of people think of Quicker as, oh, it's the new Quick Place, which it is. But the other way you have to look at it is, this is a document management system. And this is something that's going to be, you have all sorts of integration points into Notes and Office and what, FileNet, and these other you know, kind of document tools, where you can start doing a lot of real true document management through Quicker. Mm-hmm. And so you know, you can't that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know what, another thing that I'm picking up on, I'm sure you picked up on too, is, you know, with all these, you know, connectors and, you know, things between the various Lotus family products, it's starting to become where the products, you're not using each one. And you know how you went to Quicker, you use Quicker. You know, you went to
right.
Connections, you're using Connections. I think, you know, with all these integration points coming about, users aren't going to know, you know, really, they're not going to have to go into Quicker to do certain things. They may be in Notes 8 and have all these integration points to Connections and Quicker, and same time and stuff like that, and they just won't know it. You know, they're blurring the lines, you know, of the products, trying to make them all kind of like we do on the web, you know, right now, right? We use a lot of things.
Sure.
And sometimes we don't know which, you know, service or whatever we're doing. It's just all presented to us as a common interface. So
yeah, well, and just like Domino.doc or Document Manager or a lot of other document management tools, how if you're in Microsoft Office, let's say, and you do file save, then you can save to your desktop, to your file system, to your file server, or to that document management system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that seamlessness bit is nice because your user doesn't think of that as some whole other system. They think of it as kind of another file server, mm-hmm. which is good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Another announcement that came out of the collaboration summit was more connectors, you know, for Lotus Connections. They're going to have more connectors for Notes, for Windows Explorer, same time, Microsoft Office, and other products. So that's good news. Again, blurring the lines, right, between the products and in the product portfolio. Why don't you take the next item there, Julian, as we're winding our way down the announcements.
Yeah, we're getting done here. Okay, so Lotus Forms 3.0, they announced Lotus Forms 3.0, which is an upgrade to or an update or the latest version of Lotus Forms, which used to be Workplace Forms, I think, or it's you know, some subset or some relation to Workplace Forms at least, but Lotus Forms.
Right.
And okay, so kind of do a rewind here back to, you know,
actually I think it was July 19th, 2005, right? When IBM purchased Pure Edge, right?
Right. It's the Pure Edge acquisition. That was one of the first things that Mike Roden did or he was involved with when he became general manager is they acquired a company called Pure Edge. And one of the big reasons for the acquisition, I believe, was XForms. And XForms is an XML-based forms engine. But there's a lot of standards around it. So it's not like there was just this one company that was doing it. And so there's somewhat of a standard around XForms. I don't know enough about it to know how formal everything is in terms of the standardization. But essentially, it's maybe a browser based form. So like you go onto a web page and you type your name and address and date of birth or something like that on the form and upload it to the server. Well, it's like that, but there's a lot more power around it because not only can you do a post, you know, to the web server, but it has some integration with web services. There are XML aspects to it. I think the whole form actually is an XML form, hence the term XForm, I suppose. And I think there's even some parts around like digital signatures and things like that. So it is more powerful than just a kind of a normal browser form. And I think by looking at it on your browser, you wouldn't realize there's a difference. But there's also no client, so it's not like you have to have this XForms plugin. I think that the whole standards-based bit around it is that browsers, the modern browsers, tend to understand these XForms as something that they can just use. And at this last Lotusphere here in 2007, back in January, they actually did a demo. It may have been last year. I think it was this year, though, where they did a demo where they're doing building some forms, workplace forms or Lotus forms, I guess, within Notes, or the Notes client. And there was some kind of integration there where they were either displaying it within the Notes client or they were doing something where you know, I think Ron Sebastian had, a Notes database and opened up a document and essentially it opened up like an XForm or something like that. So, you know, some more of that integration you're talking about, Bruce, where there's some bits and pieces where the lines are blurred as far as what technology you're using and what maybe even what server you're accessing and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Lotusphere 2006 because I remember us podcasting about it in the lobby of the Dolphin. So, and that's when
that could have been, right?
Yeah, time goes quick, man.
Boy, oh boy.
All right, so another announcement, collaboration accelerators for WebSphere Portal. I guess the keyword here is accelerators. So if you're a WebSphere Portal customer and you want to add, you know, quicker, same time, connections type features within WebSphere Portal, they're going to provide you these accelerators, I guess, these wizard-like things possibly to make it easier to surface those types of applications within side of Portal. Anything else on that, Julian? Or
You know, I just know so little about that whole portal and portlets and accelerators and stuff like that. You know, it looked to me like this was something that was almost wizard based, where if you wanted to add, I don't know, a dashboard to Portal, or you wanted to add some, I think one of the examples they gave was something about HR self-service functionality or whatever, you could add one of these accelerators to your Portal installation, and maybe there was like a wizard-based setup that where you could set this whole thing up and deploy it on your Portal very easily. So I think it was some collaborative pieces that you could add to your Portal environment pretty quickly. But I don't know too much about that stuff.
I'm a Portal user, and we use the basic functionalities of it. But I know my friends over at Cryo Systems. I'm going to give them a call and see if I can find out some more info, and I will post it.
Maybe
on the,
they'll podcast about it.
I'm sure Lori would. She's been a great help with my Portal installation in my day job. So, moving on, we're getting near the end here, folks. We're getting near the end here, folks. Hosted Lotus Notes. IBM announced that you'll be able to purchase, a hosted Notes 8, Notes and Domino 8. What do you want to call it? Well, Notes and Domino 8 services from IBM.
Right, you know, now, is that just email?
That's a good question. From what I understand, that IBM Global Services has provided hosting type services in the past, but it's kind of been kind of quiet. So I guess from what I can tell, that it's both both server and client type of environment, and I guess they're going to start competing with some of the business partners in this space if they're going to make a big announcement about it, right? Doesn't Connectria and some of the other guys out there, the companies out there, don't they provide hosted notes environments?
Yeah, so, we'll have to see how that – I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Couple other things. Collaboration University wraps up in London. We helped them out with some promotional things on the on prior podcast, and from what I understand, it went really well. Couple things that came out of that. Kevin Cavanaugh, who's now the senior VP, is it of marketing now at Lotus?
He moved to some higher position. Yeah. I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, sorry, Kevin, but if we got the title wrong, but he gave some hints about Notes Next, which I think Rob Novak told me called it officially like Notes Domino version 8.5. So 8.5. So I guess there's the first things of some of the things we'll start to hear at Lotusphere, right? With all these announcements that came out, well. With all these announcements that came out, there has to be something good for Lotusphere, right?
You would think.
All right. Attendees also learned a lot about developing composite applications. You know, in my little section of the, in my little suburb, I guess, of the Lotus Notes Domino, global community, I haven't really touched, composite apps at all. And there hasn't been really much in the blogosphere about it. But didn't you see something, Julian, about something on some blog somewhere about comp apps somewhere?
Well, on the IBM site, and we'll have a link to this in the show notes, and I don't know if anyone has seen this before. It's been – I don't know how long this blog has been live. It's been many months. I don't know that it's been a whole year yet, but there is a composite applications blog on the IBM site. Done by at least one, if not several, of the people that really work on composite applications and working with. I don't know if they work with customers. Actually, I was going to guess that they do stuff internally, but they might do some external help. Anyway, the whole blog is just about composite applications and Lotus Notes 8, and it's pretty cool. And they've got some really neat. Screenshots and some examples of you could do this with the composite applications, and what if you want to do this, and they get some of the articles they do on the blog are very technical in terms of doing some wiring and how you have to connect different components, and actually doing some interesting connections, things that are not obvious, I guess, like even some of the browser-based interactions they describe how to do. That's not something that you would just kind of look at and say, oh, this is how I do it. I mean, they've got some very good tips on there, but they've also got recently some screenshots of a few customers that have done some neat stuff, and it looks there's a lot of Japanese characters on here. So I don't know if these are Japanese companies or not. One is just has all sorts of graphs and charts and things like that, integrating I think a notes view and a notes document and some 3D charts that are being rendered from some kind of Eclipse-based application. They've got another company that is doing all sorts of really cool stuff with they've got like it looks like a maybe an outline on the side, then some office furniture things, and again a lot of Eclipse components and Java and JFace bits and pieces here and there. So they've got some neat examples on there. So like I said, we've got a link on the show notes, and if you've ever thought, gosh, what can a composite application do for me, they've got some neat examples on there. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily stuff you can download. Again, some of it is very technical, step-by-step information, and some is, hey, look at what this guy did. But it's kind of neat stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of Eclipse and plugins and stuff like that, when I was at the Dreamforce conference in San Francisco, one of the classes I mentioned earlier that I took was about developing what they call Apex type applications for Salesforce. And essentially the way you develop these applications, you know, and I'm not a big Java guy. Okay. I know Java, you know, some basic stuff, but I am no guru, you know, like yourself, Julian, but essentially they're using Eclipse, you know, to do the development. What you do is you have Eclipse, you download this set of plugins for Eclipse, and within a matter of minutes, you have this whole environment to develop applications specifically for the Apex platform, which is the Salesforce or Force.com platform. So, you know, like we said, you know, Eclipse is becoming popular. For those of you in the Notes Domino world who haven't had a chance to you know, start using it, again, it's a very important part of Notes and Domino 8 going forward. Julian, do you...
Yep.
Yep, you agree. So
yeah.
If you haven't done it, download it. There's a ton of plugins. For example, let me give you another one. If you want to develop, you know, if you've ever used Flash, like Adobe Flash, and you want to develop what are called Flex applications, Flex and Air. Air is the offline component of, you know, for Flex-type applications, Adobe Flex, so you can take applications offline and work with them. You know, that's all done in Eclipse. You know, Salesforce, they're using Eclipse as the development platform for Apex development. Notes and Domino, they're using Eclipse for the, you know, the sidebar kind of stuff. So, and same thing with Same Time plugins. It's all Eclipse-based development, you know. So, that's about it. One more item on the list here. And that is, this is the week of the Ucklug. Julian, what's the Ucklug?
Sorry, I just had to cough. Ucklug, I believe that is the United Kingdom Lotus user group, right?
Right. It is sold out, and it is, I think it's Wednesday, September 26th, so.
Right. And that's kind of the London version of the Irish user group meeting that happened earlier this year.
Right. ILUG, Ucklug.
Yes.
Right. So, yep, it's being put on by, you know, a whole bunch of folks out. I think Warren Ellsmore, is Warren the actual coordinator of it? I think he is.
If he's not, he's doing a lot of stuff. And let me tell you, that guy just works his tail off for these sorts of things.
Yeah, and I wonder if Fluffy is the bunny who attended the ILUG. And I have a picture somewhere of Warren actually, I think it's out on Flickr somewhere, Warren's actually sleeping under the table using Fluffy as a pillow. So, yeah, Warren works his tail off. Matt White is also assisting, you know, with the labs and stuff like that. And it should be a great conference. Vince Sherman from OpenNTF is going to be there. Bill Buchan, just a ton of people. So, guys, good luck. I'm sure the conference will be, or the user group will actually be great. And, Julian, anything else for episode 66?
Well, I got nothing else. I think that was a ton of stuff, Bruce.
It was a ton of stuff. And, again, sorry, you know, I know we shouldn't be apologizing. We do this... on our own time.
If you're still listening.
If you're still listening. No, actually, there's still a lot of people who are subscribed to the RSS feed. They haven't dumped us yet. So, again, thanks to everyone. Please provide your comments and feedback in the comments section of the Taking Notes blog, and we'll catch you for episode 67 real soon. Right?
Yeehaw.
All right, so we're going to leave you off with that IBM anthem, fight song, whatever it is. So enjoy it. Take care.